Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
As you can see, Pastor Rader is not here this morning. He's not feeling that well. He's sitting at home watching live stream. And so I got a call maybe about 7:30, 8 o'clock this morning. He said, you need to get up there and you need to preach. So I put on my clip-on tie. Pastor, I know you're watching. There's nothing you can do about it. And in a couple minutes, we're going to see him come running in that back door. All right. But he's basically turned the reins over to Pastor Bill and myself, and we're in charge this morning. And so Pastor, just sit back and enjoy. He's probably there nervous. I brought my cell phone with me so he can send me texts that I won't check. It's going to be great. Yeah. He's going to be sending me, hey, don't forget this. Don't forget that. I haven't even looked. I know he's probably walking around this house right now.
No, and he better not have his pajamas on.
Yeah, yeah. At least get ready for church. Put a tie on. But yeah, he's at home, and so it's a perfect time for me to be able to preach. Oh, great. All right. I made that joke about my cell phone, and I kid you not, I know Pastor Rader just texted me a couple things because I felt it go off in my pocket twice right after I said that. So, but I'm not checking it, Pastor. You should put your cell phone away when we're having service. So, like I mentioned already, Pastor called me up probably about 7:30, 8 o'clock this morning and said, get a message ready. You're going to need to preach this morning. And so I was like, okay. So I started getting ready for that. And the Lord kept bringing me back to this message. And I tried to switch it twice. I tried to go to something else and preach on something else. But the Lord just kept saying, this is the one that needs to be preached. This is the one that needs to be preached. And I was like, oh, it's too hard. I can't do this one today. But got to do it. That's just the way it works. And so if you want to take your Bibles out and turn to Matthew in chapter 24, Matthew chapter 24 is where we'll be at to start with. And then we'll jump over to Luke as well. But Matthew chapter 24, and I'm just going to read a couple few verses here, and then we'll jump over. We'll read some verses from some other passages as well. Matthew chapter 24, and looking at verses 3 through 7. It says, and as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of the coming and of the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, and pestilences, and earthquakes, in diverse places. And then if you want to turn over to Matthew, just a few verses on to verse number 36. 36 through 39 says, but of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. And then one more passage in Luke in chapter 14. Luke in chapter 14, and we'll look at verses 16 through 24. Then he said unto him, a certain man made a great supper and bade many, and sent his servants at supper time to say to them that they were bidden come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground and must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have bought five yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and showed his lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city and bring in hither the poor, the maimed, and the halt, and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and the hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you, that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for allowing us to be here. And just as we begin the preaching of your word, Lord, I pray that you would empty me of myself. And Lord, give me your words that you would have me to say, Lord, and that you would be honored and glorified in everything that takes place. I pray for our hearts to be prepared for the working of the Holy Spirit. And I pray these things in your name. Amen. Amen. So basically, I have a simple message today. It's a simple message, and I hope that it's a message that's going to be able to give you some hope. I hope it gives you some encouragement, and that it is a message that will inspire you to serve, because that's what we're supposed to be doing. We're to be serving Jesus Christ. Now, as Christians and as a church, these are exciting times. We live in exciting times. I truly 100% believe we live in the last days. These are exciting times for a Christian. We know that Jesus' return is very close. We know it's close. Now is the minister's time. Now is the time for all of you who love souls to be out doing God's work. This is our time. This is our chance. Every hardship the church has ever gone through, it's come out the other side stronger. Every single time. It always comes out on the other side stronger. And I feel like as Christians, we should be doing everything that's in our power that we are capable to do to advance the gospel of Jesus Christ. That should be our job. That should be our goal in these last times. The message is simple. Get out and do the work. That's the message for today. Get out and do the work. I put it this way. I can remember once when I was a teenager, and my dad was heading out into town, and he told me while I was gone, and many of you probably have gone through this same scenario 100 times over when you were kids as well, but he told me to go ahead and go out into, he's going to go into town, and while he was gone, I had a job to do, right? We always give our kids jobs when we leave because we don't want them sitting around doing nothing, and I want them to do it so I don't have to do it later. So we go out, and we... Thanks, Elijah. But then we go out and we give them jobs to do, right? And my dad gave me a job. He said, well, you're out. You're going to need to mow the lawn while I'm gone. And make sure it gets done before I get back. Most boys have had this task before. And while dad left and he was gone, it just so happened it was a Saturday afternoon and there was a football game on, right? There was a football game on. So I'd just sit down and I'd watch it for just a couple minutes, you know, and then I'd get out there and I'd get the lawn done before he gets back. There's lots of time. I can run that lawnmower if I have to, but lots of time. And so I sat down and as a teenage boy, and watched, and somehow I got into trapped in some type of space-time continuum or something along those lines. And before I knew it, 15 minutes had gone by and an hour and a half. And pretty soon I could hear a car pulling into the driveway. And then all of a sudden my heart began to sink. It's like, wait a minute, did I do the lawn? No, I didn't do the lawn. And so then I run into the garage and I get that push lawnmower out and I'm pulling on. Of course, when you're pulling on a lawnmower and it needs to start right away, it never starts. So I'm pulling and pulling and pulling, and pretty soon I can hear my dad coming into the garage behind me. I think he may have noticed the lawn. And so he came in behind me and he said, why isn't the lawn mowed? And of course, as a good teenage son, I told him the truth. I'm like, Dad, I've been trying to get this lawnmower started. The pulley thing, it's just not going. There's something wrong with this thing. Or else I'd have this lawn done for sure, easy, but the lawnmower won't start. The sad thing is, this is how most of the church, this is what most of the church is doing. They're sitting around idle, and when Christ returns, they're going to be left with just excuses. They're going to be left with excuses. They had a job to do while Christ was gone, and yet we're just sitting inside watching the TV, watching football games, watching, being entertained by the world, rather than doing the job that he's given for us to do. all one has to do is pick up a newspaper and read in the headlines all the different stories that are going on, all the things that are happening in this world. And if you study just a little bit of your Bible, you know that Christ's return is close. Amen. You know his return is close. We already read in Matthew in chapter 24 and verses 37 through 39. If you want to turn back there again real fast, but Matthew 24, 37 through 39 says this, "But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." We live in a generation just as Noah's days. If you look at your Bible and you study Scripture and you can see what the days of Noah were like in those times, we live in a world that's exactly like it. We live in a world that's exactly like it. We live in a generation in a time when man seeks his own wisdom and not the wisdom of God. A time when they call evil good and they call good evil. You see that all around. A time when if a man stands up for righteousness' sake, if he stands up for what's right, he's persecuted. He's called a hater. He's called intolerant. And the world attempts to cancel him out. That's what he does for those that are trying to speak the word and trying to help people. Just as in Noah's days, every man does what is right in his own eyes. We hear that all the time. Do right in your own eyes. Man is going mad in his own conceit. He's going mad in it. His own philosophies and his wisdom. Jeremiah 25 tells us, "For thus saith the Lord God of Israel unto me, take the wine cup of this fury at my hand, and cause all the nations to whom I send thee to drink it. And they shall drink and be moved and be made mad, because of the sword that I will send among them. Then took I the cup of the Lord's hand and made all the nations to drink unto whom the Lord had sent me." As you look at our world that we live in, as you look at the world that we live in, one cannot but come to the conclusion that this is as the days of Noah. It's the same. It's the same philosophies and ideas and humanistic ideas. Everything's the same. The world's supposedly the most educated as it's ever been. Supposedly, the smartest as we've ever been. Our universities and colleges, they're swelling with students who are seeking wisdom. And yet, more and more, we get the false message from those universities, and we get the false message from those colleges. They tell you, you need to live your own truth. Oh, you need to live your own truth. I don't know what idiot thought of that idea. I'm so sick of hearing it, though. Live your own truth. I'll just say this and I'm going to move on. Truth doesn't care what you think. It's the truth. Amen. It doesn't change because you feel. It's the truth. Right. It doesn't adapt to your emotions and it doesn't adapt to your philosophies. It's the truth. Amen. Truth is based upon facts. Right. That's what makes it truth. You can't change truth. It is what it is. "Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me. Amen. That I am the Lord that exerciseth loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord." Here's truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, and I am the root of the offspring of David, the bright and morning star. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. That's the truth. That's the truth we live by, because it's fact. Instead of this truth, man does what is right in his own eyes. He tries to justify it by calling it truth. But it's not truth. It's humanism. It's humanism. It is man worshiping himself. Christ said it was going to be like that before the end days. It had to happen. He told the disciples, "Don't fear. This is how it's got to be. This is how it's got to be." Matthew 24, verses 6 through 7, we already read some of the things, but we see some of the signs of his return. It says there's wars and rumors of wars. And we read that in Matthew 24. Jesus himself describes those last days before his return. And we hear wars and rumors of wars and countries building up armies upon borders, ready to invade. All right, you hear it all the time. It's nonstop. I don't know of a week that goes by that we can't read a paper that has some type of news of a war or a possible war that could come out. Jesus said in the last days before he comes that kingdom will rise up against kingdom. Don't fear, Jesus tells his disciples. Don't fear. This is how it has to be. This is how it has to be. Verse 7 in chapter 24, famines and earthquakes and pestilence. There have always been famines. We can read them in Scripture. There's always been disasters and pestilence, but not on the scale that we've seen. Not on the scale that we've seen in the past decade. They try to blame all these other things and write it off. Global warming, and then it went from global warming to climate change or whatever term they want to use for it. It's just called weather. But Christ said it would happen just before his return. Pestilence? We deal with pestilence, right? All the time. We don't need to live in fear. This is how it's supposed to be before Christ's return. He said so and it's in Scripture for us. What a great time to be a Christian. This is a great time to be a Christian. I can think of no better time to spread the good news of salvation when things are hardest. Charles Spurgeon said this when he was dealing with cholera in London. All right, he took the London that job as a pastor in London when he was like 19 or 20 years old, and he took there and he came into there some hard times. London was all over cholera. Cholera was all over London, and people were dying and people were sick. And he says, if there ever be a time when the mind is sensitive, it is when death is abroad. I recollect when I first came to London, how anxious people listened to the gospel, for the cholera was raging terrible. There was little scoffing then. What a time for us to be telling others about Jesus Christ when people are so scared. This is the time for the church to rise up. This is our moment. This is the minister's moment. This is the soul winner's moment. When they get to go out into the world and preach the gospel when people are scared, they won't scoff then. It's all around them. Death is in their face. They don't have a choice. That's when we should be out there. Spurgeon loved it. He didn't love that people were dying, but he was all over that city and he didn't stop. He didn't sit in his house worried. He went from deathbed, to cholera patient, to cholera patient, to deathbed, and he won thousands to Christ during that time. Amen. This was the time, he said. It's not a time to cower and hide. It's a time to go forth with the gospel as Christians. This should be the time that this should not be a troubling time for us. Be ye not troubled, for all these things must come to pass. This is the way it's supposed to be. It has to come to pass. For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind when everyone else is going crazy and has gone mad. This is when the Christian can have a sound mind. And use his brain and give the gospel. What to do with the knowledge? Matthew in chapter 28, verses 18 through 20, we see the Great Commission, but you can turn there real quick. Matthew 28, verses 18 and 20. We'll read it. It says, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Amen. Sure. You can look at these signs and know the season. I can go outside and feel how cold it is, and I know it's wintertime. Isn't that amazing? I don't need anybody to tell me because I can see the signs. You can look at the age that we live in the world that we live in, and you can see the signs and know the season. You know the season. If you're a teenager sitting on the couch watching that ball game, this is like the muffler falling off your dad's car 3 blocks away. And you know he's close. And you can jump out there and you get a few extra pulls on that lawnmower before he gets in there, right? That's what it is. That's what it's for us. The church has a job to do. Jesus has not returned yet. He's not returned yet. He's coming soon. The trumpet has not sounded. You have a job that has been given to you by Jesus Christ himself. We just read what he told us to do. We're to go into all the world and preach the gospel. You've been given that job. It's our job. An order that carries a lot more power than any government mandate that's given to us. An order that carries a lot more power than any president or any governor. It does not matter. This order is bigger. Amen. It's bigger. Amen. You've been given a commission by the King of Kings. The King of Kings? That's who's given us this commission. The creator of the universe? To go into all the world and preach the gospel. We can't get caught up in everything else. We can't get caught up in it. This is what we're to do with the knowledge that our Lord's returning. I don't know when. It could be today. Could be that you'll never hear Senior Pastor Rader preach again. And I'm the last person you get to hear preach. Amen, Pastor Rader? I know you're listening. Could be today. It could be tomorrow. Next week. A year from now. I don't know. But as a church, we need to get to work. I love looking up inspirational speeches. Some of you may have heard me this before, but I love looking them up. They're great. They're fun to listen to. One of my favorites is being Newt Rockne's speech. His fight, fight, fight speech. His fight, fight, fight speech. It's a great speech. If you let me, I'll give you just a little bit of it, even here today. All right, if you'll just give me a little bit of liberty. And so here's Newt, right? And he just walked into the Notre Dame locker room, and he's about to address his team. He's an old man. He's been coaching for quite a while now. And just like those old men, he's got it's not a fedora, but I don't even know what kind of hat that is, but it's got a feather in it, right? And so he walks in there, and he's got that feather in his hat, and he has his suit on, looking sharp, just like every football coach in the 1920s did, right? Always wore a tie on the sideline so you could at least rip it off and throw it once in a while, like a good coach. Mine's a clip-on, though. Didn't choke myself. He slowly looks around the room. He can see the faces of all those 18 to 22-year-old men. They're staring at him. Some of those faces are scared because they wore leather helmets. Some are excited, right, to get to go out on the field. Some are nervous. But all of them are looking to Newt for leadership, right? He's the leader. They're looking to Newt for leadership. And they're about to take the field. One of the biggest games of their lives, with thousands of people watching at the stadium and some watching on TV. And Newt takes a deep breath when he walks into the locker room. Now the success of any team, men, is based on team play. You've shown it all year long. Sacrifice. Unselfish sacrifice. These other fellows, they say, are pretty good. But I think we're better. All right, now, on the kickoff. The zone men, you're going to drop back at the receiving line and you're going to block long that old Notre Dame style. Let's run down that field fast, just as fast as you can go. And then we're going to go on defense. And on defense, I want the center. I want him in that line. And use your head, old man. Use your head. And I want you, the guards, to charge through that line as fast as you can on every single play. Every single play. And tackles. When you get through, I want you to stop at a yard and a half deep. And I want you to get your feet wide and your hands out so you don't get sideswiped. And you backs in the backfield, I want you to analyze every single play. I want you to watch closely. And when that quarterback drops back and he throws that ball and you see that ball in the air, I want you to go get that ball. And when you go get that ball, boys, we're going to go on offense, and that's when we're going to go get him. That's when we're going to go get him. We're going to go inside him, and we're going to go outside him, inside him, and outside him. We're going to get him on the run once, and we're going to keep him on the run. And we're not going to throw the ball, guys. We're going to keep him on the run, only if their secondary comes up too close. And remember this, boys, we're going to get him on the run, and we're going to go, 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 and we're not going to stop until we get to that goal line. And remember this. Don't forget this, men. They can't beat us. They can't lick us. That's how it's got to be. So let's go out there and fight, fight, fight. What do you say, men? Woo! And then everybody jumps up and cheers. Yeah, you don't have to do that. But they're excited. They were excited. Every time I hear that speech, I read that speech, and I watch that speech. I don't care. I'm ready to stick on one of those leather helmets, too. Go ahead and bust my nose a couple times. I don't care. You want to put that leather helmet on and get out there. But I think the church can do better than Newt Rockne's speech. If you give me a little liberty, there's a fire-up speech all throughout Scripture. There's a fire-up speech laid out by God Himself. Now, the success of this local body of believers is based on a few things. First off, our foundation in Jesus Christ and what He's done on the cross. Amen. Next is taking up that cross and following Him as so many men have gone on before us. Now they say this adversary, the devil, they say he's pretty tough. They say he walketh about as a lion, seeking whom he may devour. But I think we're tougher. Because greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. Now, if we're to succeed in our commission that we've been given by the Creator, there are a few things that we're going to need to do. Now, preachers, you're going to need to preach. Preach the word and be instant in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. And missionaries, how shall they believe in whom they've not heard? You're going to need to take that gospel light and run into the four corners of the earth, into every dark spot, and give them the gospel and let them know that for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And you Sunday school teachers, keep teaching those little kids about Jesus Christ. You need to keep teaching them, because suffer the little children to come unto me, for such is the kingdom of God. All right, now, this is it. This is how the church is going to have a success in its commission. We're going to need to go into Jerusalem. We're going to need to go into Judea. And we're going to need to go into Samaria. And we're going to need to go into the uttermost parts of the earth. We're going to need to go, go, go. And let me remind you, church, we have a job to do. We need to go into the highways, into the hedges, and bring in the sick and the poor and the maimed and the blind. And we need to tell them about Jesus so they can know for sure they're on their way to heaven. We have a job to do, and we're not going to quit. And we're not going to stop until we cross that finish line, until we see those pearly gates, until the trumpet sounds. We got to keep going. We got to go, 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 and fight, fight, fight. What do you say, church? Amen. That's the message all throughout Scripture. It's laid out for us. It's there. That's a pump up speech. I don't know if I can do it anymore. Now, I've had a little fun with it, but the message is real. The message is real. Jesus didn't come for just the rich and elite and a select few. Jesus came for everyone. Amen. For everyone. He died for everyone. And He is the way, the truth, and life. That message should be sounded forth from every church across the globe. This is the minister's time. This is the soul winner's time. What better time to be put in the game in the fourth quarter when everything is on the line and there are souls in the balance and God says, get out there and fight, fight, fight. Don't hide, hide, hide. That's right. Amen. That's not what to do. One can look at the times and the seasons and see our time is short.
That's right.
It's short. And it's time to get out of the pews, off our couches, and get real about serving the Lord and be found faithful during that time.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book, broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.